Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Psalm, chapter number 128, and I would like for you to stand with me. The Bible says in Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." I'm going to emphasize this word, verse 2, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." And so I would like to look this morning at the man that feareth the Lord. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm not everything that I need to be this morning as far as my faculties. But Lord, in spite of that, I'm asking, Lord, that you would help us, that you would give us unction from upon high, and Lord, that you would do above and beyond that which I'm capable, and God, that you would help us do something, Lord, of lasting value here in this place today. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I want to share three simple thoughts with you this morning from Psalm 128. I want to begin looking, and I want to look at, first of all, the secret of the Lord's blessing. The secret of the Lord's blessing. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now, the word blessed is very common in the Old Testament. The word blessed, when it's blessed, but it says blessed, it's in the plural. So when you see it listed like that, not just blessed, but blessed, it means that it's ongoing, that it's plural. A TV reality fella come up with a thing, he'd say, "Happy, happy." Well, believe it or not, that had some scriptural basis. The word blessed, it means happy, but it means to continue on being happy. And so you could say it, "happy, happy," or "happy, happy, happy" would be the thought behind the word blessed. And so the scripture says, "happy, happy, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord." But I want to share some things with you that goes against common thought. It's completely backwards from what you might think. You see, the Bible, the Lord lays down specifically two things that have to happen in one's life to be happy. Everyone's wanting to be happy. Millions are being spent on being happy. It's amazing right now. You can't buy, you know, the old saying was, well, you know, money won't buy happiness. Ray Aiken said, well, it may not buy happiness, but it'll get you a bus ticket downtown where you can buy happiness. So I don't know what, that's what he used to say. People are trying to buy happiness. Can I tell you right now? I talked to someone who was trying to buy a motorcycle or SUV or motorcycle, UTV, something like that, four-wheel or something. The dealer had sold 98 of the units that have not been produced yet. My fuel pump went out on my Kawasaki mule, so I went to the dealership. Be 2 weeks and $200 to get a little bitty $20 part. And I know the manager's from Transylvania County, and so I know him, and I said, "Is this all the box you got?" He said, "This is it." He said, "They've got them all, and they've moved. Del Kawa's now in the showroom of the old Hunter Chevrolet over on 25. Everything they own sitting inside that showroom, with the exception of a couple of things. You can't get a Ski-Doo. You can't get an SUV. A UTV. Can't get any of those things. They're back-ordered. The campers are back ordered. We had a leak in the church's camper, and so I went to a fella and I said, can you fix it? Dealership that sells them. Not that we bought it there, but the dealership that sells them. I said, "Can you fix it?" He said, "Nope." I said, "You're a dealership. You can't fix it." He said, "Nope." I said, "You carry this brand?" He said, "Yep." I said, "But you can't fix it." He said, "Nope." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because all of my people are busy prepping new ones. We're taking no repairs right now at all, unless it's warranty work. If you bought it from us and it has a warranty issue, we will take it." Outside of that, we can't work on it. I said, well, put me on a waiting list. He said, nope. I said, not a wait. He said, we don't even have a waiting list. He said, we're so far behind, it'll be this time next year, maybe, but check back with me, and I'm making you no promises. That's what he said. You can't buy automobiles. You can't buy hardly anything. As a matter of fact, General Motors come out with a new e-Hummer, okay? And they projected what their sales were going to be the first year, and you could go online and put your money down and get you one of these new e-Hummers. They sold out everything they can produce in the model year in the first 6 or 7 days. If you didn't get on the list and put your deposit down, you won't get one of those. They're considering opening it up and start selling 2 model years in advance to get the vehicle. And people are paying full sticker price. Used vehicles have gone up 48% in the past 24 months. For the first time in history that I can remember, a new vehicle may not be a bad investment. There have been multiple people with diesel pickup trucks that were offered what they paid from the dealer to get it back. The dealer is calling people they sold diesel pickups to and said, we'll give you every dime that you paid for it back, and you drove it free for 2 years. That's happening locally. And it's all about going camping, doing everything. There's a new site like Airbnb. There's a new site called Outdoorsy. And Outdoorsy rents campers. There was a diesel Mercedes camper. And I don't know if it was four-wheel drive. I'm not sure what the deal of it was. But I thought it was going to be really decked out as a camper on the inside. Especially when I saw the price. You can rent that thing for $299 a day. But then I got to looking, and there's seats in it. So I'm not sure it's a camper at all. But how many think that $299 a day is a little bit expensive? But apparently people are paying it. What are you trying to say, preacher? Right now we're on a happiness craze. You know how we splurge on our birthdays, we splurge at Christmas, we eat the extra dessert, we do the extra, we kind of celebrate because it's our birthday or it's Father's Day or whatever, use those excuses. Well, hey, we've been cooped up for a year and something, and so everybody's celebrating. And in doing so, you can't buy anything. I've never seen a time like it. Everything's gone, and a whole lot more's coming. But people are trying to be happy. But here's the problem with that. The Bible doesn't say happy is everyone that has an SUV. The Bible doesn't say happy is everybody that has a four-wheel drive truck. The Bible doesn't say happy is everybody that has an RV. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says happy is he that feareth the Lord. In other words, if we're to be happy, our life must be centered in the Lord. Now, he says that feareth the Lord. I want you to understand that fear is not a slavish type fear. That's not what he's talking about. But there is such a thing as a spiritual fear. Spiritual fear. What does that mean, preacher? When you combine reverence and trust, you come up with a biblical definition of fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord. Because fear in the Lord means you trust him as well. It's not that you're scared of him like Adam and Eve was because they were guilty and they hid from him when the Lord come to walk with them in the cool of the evening. That's a guilty fear. I'm talking about a reverential fear. You trust him, you respect him, you reverence him, you fear the Lord. Can I say it this way? If we fear God, then we don't have to fear anybody else if you fear God. And for most people, if I was to say to the man on the street, what's the last thing they would guess? If I had a list of 10 things, and I said, all right, pick the one that you believe is going to make you happy, and one on the list was fear the Lord, how many people you think would choose that option? Very few. Because it's just exactly backwards of what we think. It's the last thing we think of when we think about happiness. People think that money will make them happen. There's a bunch of guys running here think that marriage will make them happy.
That's
You notice that all the married men's the ones laughing. Did you notice that? It's interesting how that works. It's Father's Day. You might get by with a day, but I wouldn't do that tomorrow, all right? Fearing God. Here's what I'm... Let me give you some illustrations. God's the author of creation. And God produced this world with an order. And everything in the world has a center, which everything else revolves around. And you have to have the proper center. I was trying to use an orbital disc the other day, a disc pad. I got it off center. If you get that thing on there right, you can just stand up a storm. You get it off a little crooked, wobble, 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 you can't hold it. It'll run, you can't hold it on. You get a wheel out of alignment, what does it do? How does it act? You get it lined up, get it centered like it's supposed to be, and it's fine. What I'm trying to say is that there's the importance of order and the importance of having the proper center. If we take our telescopes and we were to go out and explore the infinite world and we could look out into the universe, we'd find that we belong to a solar system. And that solar system are all everything that revolves around our sun. Our solar system, our sun, there's that single star. That's what the sun is. It's a star. And so we are revolving around this star. There are 9 planets. Somebody said they're not, but 8. I still count poor little old Pluto, all right? And so I was raised with Pluto, and I'm going to count Pluto. And of those planets, of those 9 planets, did you realize there are 32 moons? 32 moons that orbit those planets. We only have one. But there's 31 more moons that orbit those 9 planets. There are probably 100,000 asteroids that are in this circle, that are in here with us. And they say that there's probably 100 billion comets that are inside this thing, that are inside this solar system that we're in. The word planet, it comes from a Greek word, planetai. And the word planetai means to just wander. And so the Greeks thought that what they could see, those celestial bodies, they were wanderers. But they really weren't wanderers. The planets don't wander. The planets have a calculated course and path, so much so that you can set your watch by them. They're doing exactly what God put them in the orbit to do. And so... those planets, they don't wander, they obey fixed laws. On the very outer fringe, Pluto, it doesn't orbit in a round path. It has an eccentric path. At one point, it gets about 2.7 billion miles at its closest point from the sun. But when it gets in the elongated part of that, it's about 4.6 billion miles. And then... outside of those fringes, out beyond Pluto, it's still part of the solar system. That's where the comets live. Almost of them are there. And even though it's that far away, 4.7 billion miles, the sun is still exerting its gravitational pull on those comets, and those comets are whirling and circling out beyond Pluto. They're just smaller. They're not big enough to be counted as a planet. But they're out there, and they're circling, even at that great distance. So what are you trying to say? The solar system exists solely because it has a center. Otherwise, there would be nothing. We would be planetai. We would be just out here just wandering around. That's not, hey, we're going somewhere. You don't realize it, but we are. We're going somewhere. Matter of fact, we're moving through space right now at a neck-break speed. We're going pretty fast, whether you realize it or not. But without that center, all of this coordinated effort would disappear. But the interesting part of it is the sun is not the center of the universe. The sun's just the center of the solar system. It's our star. We don't think about it that way, that we go outside and look and see our star, but that's what we're looking at. We are looking at a star when we look at the sun. But listen to this. Our sun is one of about a billion stars that make up the Milky Way. So our solar system, our star, is just one of probably a billion. If you go out at night, and they've done it, they've mapped it, visible from Earth, there's about 7,000 stars, unique stars that you can see with the naked eye. But the problem is, that's just a small number of them. The truth is, there's about, I said a billion. It is way more than that. They're saying now that they believe there's 100 billion stars as just a part of the Milky Way alone. Our sun is just a baby. Our sun is one of the stars that's the fifth magnitude star. It's up to 100,000 times fainter than its closest neighbor in the galaxy. Our star, our sun, is so small comparison to all the other stars. If you could get out away from the Milky Way and look back, you can't see the sun. It is so small and insignificant, it adds no light whatsoever to the solar system. As a matter of fact, it's a pale yellow compared to the blue and other stars and compared to the light they give off. Think about this. 30,000 light years from the hub, that's the center of the Milky Way. We are 30,000 light years. That's how long it would take at the speed of light to get to the center. But the Milky Way has a hub, and all these solar systems, over 100 billion of them, are circulating in a circular motion. And they say, they believe, that the Earth and our solar system will go all the way around the Milky Way and back. It's going to take 200 million years for us to go that far. But get this. That's just our, I mean, that's just, I mean, that is just our part. It's got like spirals and it's like a pinwheel looking thing. It's what they think. We're in the inside of it. Hard to know what it looks like from the outside, but that's what they believe. But that's just one of an infinite number of them. 100 billion suns just within the Milky Way. Just within our galaxy. And they say there's billions and billions of galaxies out beyond that. So what's the point, preacher? Everything has a center. We're not sure where the Milky Way's heading, but it's going somewhere fast. The Milky Way's moving. And so it's moving through space. And it's whirling on its axis, and it's all going around. It takes 200 million years to make a full pinwheel to get around. It takes us a year to go around the sun. But while we're going around the sun is it revolving in this big pinwheel, and we're all going somewhere fast. But nobody knows where we're going. I believe we're going to the sides of the north, amen. I believe we're heading that way. I believe God's got it all centered around Him. That's the big picture. But it's got a center. Always does. Now let's take the small picture. Let's put the telescope up. Let's get a microscope. When you take a microscope, you get down to the atomic level. You get down to where you can actually see an atom. Did you know that an atom is a miniature solar system? Atom is made up of electrons revolving around a nucleus made of protons and neutrons. The electrons move at inconceivable speeds. So everything that is made up of these tiny moving particles. What we consider matter is made up of these atoms, these tiny moving things. An atom, the nucleus, those things that are revolving around the outside of an atom, they go around a billion times in a millionth of a second. That's how fast they're running. To the point that they look solid, but they're not solid. Inside of an atom, it's mostly empty space. But it's got these electrons moving around, the neutrons and protons. And somebody said, well, what's all that got to do with me? Well, it's what we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki with. We figured out how to unlock the energy of that. We figured out how to split that. And then the hydrogen atom. If you took hydrogen atoms, if you took a million hydrogen atoms and you lined them up side by side, a million hydrogen atoms is not as thick as that page right there. Page in my Bible. A million of them side by side is not as thick as the page in my Bible. And every one of them has a solar system. Every one of them have the electrons moving in the right direction around that nucleus, and they're all doing it at this blazing speed. Now, I know that seems a little bit deep on a Sunday morning, but this is the Star Trek generation. Beam me up, Scotty, is theoretically possible. If you could get the atoms to all get back in the right order, and you could figure out how to disperse them and reassemble them, it is conceivable that it would be possible. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about it, the finest, the lowest, the smallest that the human can go. You know what we find? Order. We find order. We find it does not matter how finitely small we go. We find order, and things are operating by rules. And the reason things are as they are is because those things operate by rules. They're operating exactly as they're supposed to. And when we make them do things they're not supposed to, they blow up with great force. So here's the bottom line. There's got to be order. There's got to be a center. And when all's said and done, the fact remains that God is the ultimate center of everything. So must He be the center of our lives. And there will be no happiness for anyone who forgets this truth. The Lord has to be the center of our lives. There has to be a proper center. And it's Him. Think about that for a second. How many people do you know that the center of their lives is sports? The center of their lives is hunting, fishing. The center of their lives is money. The center of their lives is fame. The center of their lives. Think about it. Think about people you know that you could, I mean, you don't have to go far. You can point to people and say, okay, this is the center of his life. This is the center of his life. This is the center of his life. And can I say, obviously all of us have things that we enjoy more than others, but whatever that thing is ought not be what the defining thing about us. When somebody gets up to do your eulogy, it ought not be, he sure did love horses. It ought not be that. It ought to be he sure did love God. That's what it ought to be. It ought not be he sure did love old trucks. It ought to be he sure loved God. And he had a pretty truck, say amen right there. And you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to be around somebody long, you find out what they're about. About recreation, about the weekend. I know people that live for Friday night. Their whole life is revolving around Friday night. And what they're going to do on the weekend, they're going to party hardy all weekend. That's what they do. That's what their life is. They live to get high. They live to drink. They live to carouse. That's what they're revolving around. We're getting ready to go into the Olympics. I like the Olympics because they get to cheer USA. Now that I like. It's the one time they say USA. Everything else is about us, U.S. But once every 4 years, we say USA, USA, USA. I like that. Does something for me. We were on a ship off the coast of Puerto Rico. They did an air ambulance rescue of a man who had kidney failure. And the Coast Guard launched from San Juan, come out to the cruise ship that we were on. They lowered the man basket down. They matched the speed of the ship. They lowered the rescue swimmer down. They put the patient, an American, in the basket, took him back up. I brought it back down, got the rescue swimmer, and as he went up, he did a thumbs up to the waiting crowd on the deck, and the chant went out, and this was an international cruise. It was a British registered ship, but there were Americans on the back of the thing, and that American helicopter come out to get an American citizen in the middle of international waters 100 miles from San Juan, Puerto Rico, came out to rescue him and save his life. And as that rescue swimmer went up in the basket and put his thumbs up, the chant went, USA! 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 And I cried. I stood on the deck of that ship and big tears run down my face. I said, where else on that planet Earth? Where else will they send a multi-million dollar helicopter to get one of their citizens? Who else will do that? Hallelujah. I was proud to be an American that day. And I liked the Olympics just for that reason. I love to see them stand on the medal stand. I don't care if I see them compete or not, but I like to see them stand on the medal stand, and I like to see them raise the American flag, and I like to see the guy in the middle get the gold, and I like to hear the Star Spangled Banner play. Boy, it does me good. I could just watch the news and just watch those medals. I don't need to watch what they're doing. I just watch those medals because I like to hear the Star Spangled Banner. But could you understand when we get to heaven, it's not going to be how far could you swim? How fast could you do the breaststroke? It's not going to be how far could you jump. It's not going to be how fast you could run. It's none of those things. They dedicate their lives to that. They haven't eaten a hamburger in 7 years. They've not been anywhere outside of the gym and the pool and the training center. That's all they've done is train for this moment and the Olympics so that they can get that thing to go around their neck. But the bottom line is one of these days, that thing will be handed down, that gold, silver, or bronze, will be handed down to somebody else. We had a gold medal winner in Brevard. He was an archer. Took the gold in the 60-something Olympics. As an old man, I used to watch him shoot. He was so crippled he couldn't even go get his own arrows. He had a motorbike. And he would get on his motorbike and go retrieve his arrows. He used a spotting scope to tell how he did. He shot almost every day. Gold medal winner. I wonder where that gold medal's at today. Kids got it. Grandkids got it. Pawn shop may have it. I don't know. But what I'm saying is you dedicate your life to something that's only going to be a hand-me-down, a souvenir to somebody else one of these days. I'm talking about the proper center. Where should we be reviving around? But I want to say something about the proper circumference. The proper circumference. Not only the proper center, but the proper circumference. The Bible says, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord. Listen to the next phrase. That walketh in His ways. Not only must we have the proper center, we must have the proper circumference. My family, little pug bulldogs. We had a little pug bulldog. She loved playing the road. She loved playing the road better than anything in the world. She's pretty smart. One of the sweetest dogs I've ever seen. And she's smart enough to stay on the side of the road and wait for a car to go by. She's that smart. The problem is, the car's pulling a trailer, and she didn't count on that. And she run behind the car, and the trailer got her. Killed her. And we've got one of the pups. And he ain't fit for nothing but to get in Papa's lap, get his ears rubbed. That's how he... I got grand dogs, all right? I do. One of the greatest things we ever done for them, one of the greatest days those dogs I've ever had is when we put in the fence, put the collars on them, and put the transmitter up. While the kids were gone the other day, Lincoln got out. He's out the mailbox. Well, I know Lincoln can't go to the mailbox, okay? So Lincoln was at the mailbox. So I grabbed his collar, and I checked it. The battery's dead in it. So I went up Spud and Deb's, and I got a battery, and I brought it, and I put it back in the collar. And I put my finger across the electrodes, didn't do nothing. I said, maybe something wrong with this stinking collar. I said, I don't know, and I forgot who's with me, Levi, or somebody's with me, and Jeremy, somebody's with me. Well, Jeremy, you with me? And so I said, well, let's walk up here to the perimeter and let's see. I don't know where the line's at, and I had my finger across the leads. I said, I don't know where the line's at. It's up through here somewhere. I'm not sure where the line's at. It's up through here somewhere. I don't think they can come as far as, knocked me. Listen, to do that to a poor little bulldog is wrong. I feel sorry for that dog. I do. But guess what? Listen to me. You say, well, you're being mean to your dog. Hey, hey. You saved his life by being mean to him. He won't get that but one time. I'll bet you money. There ain't a man here that'll get it but one time. Let me put that shocking collar on you. I couldn't drag you across there. Let me put that on your neck, and let me just see if I can get you across the line. Honey, three of us couldn't drag you across the line. And you say, I ain't getting shocked. I done done that. I ain't doing that no more. Yeah. What are you saying, preacher? Now those dogs are free. They're free to roam anywhere in the fence. They just can't go outside the fence. And that little thing, hey, it's got this little fine pitch. It goes beep, 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 that tells you you're getting close. And when you hear that, you better stop. Because the next thing you feel is going to feel like you stuck your finger in a light socket. I didn't realize a little old battery that big around could be like grabbing a spark plug on a lawnmower. Honey, it knocked the far out of me. I wouldn't wish that on no poor little old dog. But you know what the alternative is? Keeping them in a cage. You know what the alternative is? Putting them on a leash and putting them on a time and having them on a run. They've got access to the creek. They got access to the yard. They got access to everything. They just can't go outside the boundary. That's one of the best things you could ever do for a dog. I mean, you talk about a gift. That's a gift for a dog. Can I say the same thing? If it's good for a dog, it's good for a daughter. If it's good for a dog, my friend, if it's good for a daughter, it's good for a son. Understand what I'm trying to say. God sets up circumferences in our life. God sets up proper boundaries in our life. And the Lord, He's the center, and the law, it's the circumference. And God's law is the boundary. And as long as you stay inside God's law, hallelujah, you are free to enjoy everything God's got. But when you cross the line and you're saved, you'll get that little warning signal. And when you step all the way across, now you face the judgment of God in your life. There's some things out of bounds. There's some places we shouldn't go. There's some books we shouldn't read. There's some people we shouldn't admire. We got to draw the line where God draws the line if you want to be happy. The only place we'll ever find happiness is inside the circumference of God's Word. Somebody said, well, look at all that you've missed. I want you to understand, I'm free to enjoy all everything God's got. I'm not bound. We're not legalist. Just the opposite. We're living in grace. But there's still some circumferences. There's some things you don't go outside the orbit of the things of God. The Scripture says that, hey, when you get out there, you'll find guilt, you'll find fear, you'll find sorrow. Outside of that circumference, you'll find death. There's nothing but heartaches outside of that. The Bible says, blessed everyone that what? Walketh in his ways. Not our ways. Not the ways of a particular crowd. Not the ways of a sinful society. But the ways spelled out by God. Can I say, as long as you're outside of that circle, you will never, ever experience any of the blessings of God. You say, well, preacher, I know some people that's way out. They're out in the weeds. They're in the far country. Friend, the only place that, listen, they're going to have to come back to the Father's house. But they're going to have to be the one to realize they got it. They're going to have to do it. You can't get them back. They're going to have to get them back. It's the only hope that they've got. The proper center, the proper circumference. That's the secret, my friend. In this life, it's the secret of the Lord's blessing. And if you want to be happy, 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 you got to have the secret of the Lord's blessing. Having the proper center, having the proper circumference. But very quickly, to be happy, you've got to have something about the scope of the Lord's blessings. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You know what? I'm going to save that. That don't even fit right now. I'm here to tell you the simple, two little simple points. You have the proper center. You have the proper circumference. And my friend, you have entered into God's key of happiness for your life. Preacher, I want to be happy more than anything in this world. Great. Live inside God's boundary. And can I tell you, there's some people who've stepped outside God's boundary and they won't ever be able to come back exactly because of some of the things. So I said, yeah, but there's fun outside the boundary. Well, can I say that there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it's just that, it's seasonal. And when the season goes out, you'll look like an old oak tree in the middle of the winter. There'll be nothing left. No fruit, no leaves, no nothing. When all's said and done. We see it all the time. It's because you don't have the proper center and because you've not set the proper circumference. And forever, Father, here, you're not being mean to your kids when you say, don't touch the stove, it's hot. You're not being mean to your kids when you say, don't skateboard in the street, you'll get run over. You're not being mean. My friend, you're simply telling them there's some boundaries. There are kids that I grew up around. They had no boundaries. Their parents didn't care if they came home or not. Their parents didn't even know if they came home or not. They were pretty well on their own from the time they were young. They had no rules. They had no regulations. And they actually respected some of mine. And they liked hanging out because there was rules at our house. There weren't no rules at their house, but there's rules at our house. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being living like that? Can you imagine being raised like that? I used to work at the Quick Shop. And as this kid, he'd come in. He'd have two pockets full of quarters. And that's back when a quarter would buy something. And he'd start selling them quarters out. He'd come in every day, and he'd buy the awfulest pile of stuff you've ever seen. I mean, at paying convenience store prices for it. He'd shell out all them quarters. So finally, I got to inquiring, what's going on here? He was a little bit younger than I was. And so we've kind of become friends. I actually spent the night one night with him. His dad lived behind the VFW. His dad was the kind of the unofficial caretaker of the VFW. The VFW had slot machines, gambling machines, back in the 70s. And they would take those gambling machines and hide them in this little boy's bedroom. Or this little boy, he's 14 years old. They would hide them in his bedroom during the week so that in case they got raided, the law wouldn't find the one-armed bandit gambling machines. This kid had the key. His dad had the key. He was a hitting them one-armed bandit. He was a hitting the jackpot, man. He'd go in there and he'd get all he could carry of them quarters. And his dad would stay drunk. He didn't care if he came, didn't care if he went, didn't know if he came, didn't know if he went. This kid at 14 come down, buy milk, buy eggs. He did the cooking. He put himself through. I mean, he took care of it. His dad didn't even know he was even there most of the time. He had no rules. He had no boundaries of any kind. I often wonder what happened to that kid. That kid had unlimited resources to go and do anything he wanted to do anytime he wanted to do it at 14. Most 14-year-olds couldn't stand that, could they? He always jingled when he walked because he always had two pockets full of quarters. All you could haul. And what are they going to do? Turn him into the law for stealing from the one-armed bandits? And of course, they didn't count it. They didn't know how much it was. And the way that thing works is it fills the till up, and once it gets full, that's when it starts loading for the hit. I didn't know that. But until it gets the till full, you're not going to hit. Well, that's real easy. He just stole from the till, you know. And he just take it. So a lot of people lost a lot of money because he kept filling his pockets with them things. He said, a bunch of drunks, they're going to gamble it away anyway. He said, hey, I might as well enjoy it. Lord, help us to set up some perimeters, to set up some circumferences, that we have the proper Lord, that we have the proper law. And the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways.